Blog Talk Radio.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, I can see that you are the one I held on to, and I never,
never would have made it.
Oh, I never could have made it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I never would have made it. Amen. Never could have made it without you. Thanking God today, because this is the day the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done and is doing in the lives of his people. I tell you, we had a service last night, Momentum Shift Encounter 2010 at our church in Elizabeth, New Jersey, New Creation Christian Ministries, the Kingdom Church. We hosted Restoration House World Impact Center with Apostle Chevis C. Brown, and I tell you, the Lord moved in a mighty way on last night. I have shifted. My God, God is good and worthy to be praised. Listen, listen, no matter what it looks like in your life, you are not stuck right where you are, and you are not stuck with your present circumstances or your present situation, because what you are facing, if it does not line up with the word of God, then it is not what God has for you. Amen and praise God. If what you are facing does not line up with the word of God, then that is not God's plan for you, and you are not stuck in that present circumstance, in that present situation. God is going to shift you out, and it's just a matter of changing the way that you think about that situation, putting your mind in the heavenly realm, amen, reaching further than the natural, amen. We have to reach beyond the natural and enter into the supernatural, into the heavenly realm to see what it is that God is saying. And when we get there, know that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, amen. And if God said it, you go ahead and believe it, because that settles it. But you have to believe it. You have to wrap your faith around the word of God. Wrap your faith around the word of God and believe what God is saying about you and about your situation, and just stay in the glory. Amen. Stay in his glory. Enter in. Enter in. So often we enter into God's glory and then we back ourselves right on out, or we rush out of his glory at the end of the service. But I want to challenge you. Amen. I want to challenge you to stay in God's glory, amen, because God has said that you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. The Lord has said that he shall supply all of your needs according to his riches, his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. God has said that you are the head and not the tail, the top and never the bottom, above and not beneath, that you are the lender and not the borrower, amen, that you are blessed and not cursed, amen. Come on, somebody. God has already spoken over your life, and it is up to you to receive that rhema word, to receive receive the written word, to receive the spoken word, to receive the God-breathed word over your life. Amen. Do not settle for what people say about you. Do not settle for what your circumstances say. Do not settle for what your situation looks like. Amen. Get into your word. Find the word of God for your life. Apply that word of God to your life and begin to operate and flow in that word so that that word can be made manifest in your life, so that word can be made manifest in your life. Amen. So praise the Lord for a momentum shift, my God. Momentum shift, where you go from emotion, where you go from just the feeling. Because, look, you're not always going to feel like what God has said, amen. You're not going to always feel like you're victorious. You're not going to always feel like you're more than a conqueror. Sometimes you will feel like you are going under. Sometimes you will feel like you are losing your mind. Sometimes you will feel like the right one is not coming along. Come on, somebody. But guess what? It's not according to how you feel. It's according to what God has said. It is not according to how you feel. It is according to what God has said. Amen. So to God be the glory. I just want to drop that into your spirit because I just sense that somebody is going through on today. And, you know, when we have to realize that every opportunity that we get, we have to speak words of life into the lives of God's people. Amen. To the lives of others, because people are just that close to giving up. But I just want to say to you, don't give up. Hold on and keep moving forward with the Lord. Amen. You have come to the right place on today. God is speaking and he is going to continue to speak. You are listening to Woman, the most listened to internet radio program on the earth. Amen. God is increasing our numbers. God is increasing the listenership, not just about numbers, but about how many lives can I make an impact on? Amen. That's my mission, to just reach out across the internet waves, to reach out across the pulpit in the church, to reach out through writing of my books, amen, to reach out through tapes and DVDs and CDs to make an impact in the life of somebody, amen. One somebody plus one, amen, equals two. And as we continue to increase our reach, amen, then the numbers will increase. Listen, if you're on a mission for God, then your mission is to go forth and make disciples, amen. You have to preach this gospel, amen. So I thank God for every listener. I thank God for those who have called in, those on the switchboard, those in the chat room. I thank God for all of you who are listening via the way of archive. Listen, this is going to be the best hour and a half of your week, amen, amen, and praise God. Every week, come back and listen to me. You can listen by phone, by calling 646-652-4832, or you can listen by way of the internet at blogtalkradio.com/power. Amen. Every week, this week I don't have a guest. My callers will be calling in. Believe me, I open up the phone line towards the next half an hour, and we will have a dialogue, amen, where we will be talking about relationships. We will be talking today about relationships and how to get the right one to say I do. And today I'll be completing the 12 steps to getting the right one to say I do. Because the truth of the matter is there are a lot of women who are in relationship with the right one, but we have not gone to that next level of getting to the pulpit, getting to the chapel, amen, to get married. And it's God's desire that the two come together as one, not just in bed, amen, not just in our, some of us have consummated our relationship, and we're married without papers, amen. We have consummated the relationship by coming together intimately, amen, knowing each other intimately, but we have not gotten married yet. And I want to talk to you today, woman of God, and even the men of God, about taking our relationships to the level where it is pleasing to God, going into that next dimension. Marriage is ordained by God, amen. So what we want to do is make sure that we are pleasing to God, amen. So I want to talk to you about 12 steps to getting the right one to say, I do. Amen. There's a special anointing. Listen, Apostle Chevis Brown from Restoration House World Impact Center came to our church last night, and he gave me an apostolic impartation. Let me tell you something. Don't just go to church to go to church. Make sure that when you're coming out of that service that you're better, stronger, wiser, more equipped, more empowered than what you went in. Amen. When you come here on Saturdays, that's my purpose, to make sure that you're stronger, wiser, more equipped, more powerful, more ready, amen, to go forward and do what God has called you to do, to be victorious and powerful and anointed, amen, to do what God has called you to do. Don't just spend your time. Go to receive. Listen, don't be a pew warmer. Go to church to receive from the Lord. Amen. Amen. I have to say that if the word's not coming forth, then, you know, in your church, you can't put all of the responsibility on the pastor. You know, make sure that you're in the word church, but also make sure that you are reading your Bible. Make sure that you are praying for yourself. Make sure that you are watching and listening to preachers who are bringing forth the word. Amen. Amen and praise God. So I just want to encourage you in that. Amen. So let us go right to our topic on today. I'm going to open the prayer. Father God, we praise your name. We worship you today, God. You are worthy to be praised. This is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing and being glad in it. I thank you, Lord, for the listeners, amen, that you are sending to this radio station. I thank you for Erica Anderson in Chicago. And I thank you for Gazelle Simmons, oh, God, over there in Georgia or North Carolina. I thank you, Lord, for my mother and for the mothers here in New Jersey, oh, God. I thank you, Lord, for those who are listening in Florida and Texas, oh, God. Oh, Lord, I thank you for every person who listens via the archive. Thank you for evangelist Dion Finney, oh, God, caring for her husband, Victor, who has had surgery, God, a heart surgery, God. I pray, Father God, that you will bless that woman, oh, God, and continue to heal the man, oh, God, Father God. I pray, Father God, for all who will come and be enlightened during this next hour, God. Have your way. And let your will be done. Come and save souls, change lives, and set the captives free, oh God. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that I lift up this prayer. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going into the 12 steps to getting the right one to say, I do. Amen. The Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked, amen, that we should not be unequally yoked. So I'm going to go back, if I don't have a guest next week, I'm going to go back and cover how do I know if he's the one and put a ring on it. And then I want to talk to marriages, keeping your marriage hot, amen. Oh, my God, keeping your marriage hot. So those are coming up. But I want to stay in this relationship piece for a while. I want to just be obedient to God. The first six I'm going to go through real quick, and then I'm going to pick up with number seven. Amen. I know I ended with seven. I did touch briefly on seven, but I'm going to go through the first six. Have a pen and paper because you want to write these down. One, have an intimate relationship with God. You have to know God to get the right one to say, I do. You have to know God for yourself, but you have to know God. If you're not saved, chances are you're going to be picking the wrong man over and over again. Amen. So you want to have an intimate relationship with God. The Bible says that the steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman, are ordered by the Lord. Amen. God will direct your steps. And as I was saying earlier, his words will be a lamp unto your feet. So have an intimate relationship with God. Number two, deal with your issues. For so many years, I kept picking the wrong men because I was broken, busted, and disgusted. I had been dropped as a child. I had been molested. I had been taken advantage of by a 19-year-old when I was a young girl. He was a predator. If you're 12 and 13 years old, 14 years old, and you got some 18, 19, 20-year-old trying to have sex with you, he's a predator, and that is sexual assault. It's sexual assault is molestation, because you're young, and if he talks you into taking off your clothes, he's a predator, amen, and you want to know that. You want to stay away from that. So if that was your experience, if you lost your virginity at an early age, if you ended up like Mona, Lalisa Williams would give her testimony that she slept with her uncle for years, amen, not knowing that it was wrong. Her uncle was a predator. He was a child molester, amen. So what we have to do, a lot of women, one out of every three women has been molested or raped, amen, or sexually assaulted in some way by the time that they are 18. And those are some sad statistics, but I believe that they are also bad statistics. I don't believe that they are correct, because a lot of women won't talk about it. These are women that they have surveyed, taken polls, and these are women that have told. But there's some women that have not told, and this becomes an issue, like the woman with the issue of blood. Now you carry this thing. This woman had an issue for 12 years. So if you look at 18 plus 12, you get 30. And by the time we're 30, we're all messed up and yoked up. If we don't listen to some programming like what I'm doing, we're yoked up and we're messed up, and we don't know which end is up, because we have been preyed upon, and some predator, some child molester has gotten their hands on us and messed our world up, amen. Our innocence has been stripped away, and we end up with an issue. By the time we're 30, if it's not dealt with, it's an issue, and we're bleeding all over the place, like the woman with the issue of blood, and we're picking the wrong men, and we're in relationship with people that don't deserve to be in relationship with us. But I thank God for Jesus, amen, that he sends Jesus our way to help us to deal with our issues. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're burdened, if you're tired, if you're heavy in your spirit, amen, then Jesus said, I will give you rest. And I remember the woman with the issue of blood, and also the woman had the issue of blood, and she pressed her way to Jesus, and there was a sick girl, amen, and Jesus healed the woman. The woman said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Amen. And she touched Jesus, and she was healed immediately. And you have to press your way to touch Jesus. I feel God right now. Touch the hem of his garment, and you will be made whole. Amen. Touch Jesus. Amen. Touch him with your prayers. Touch him with your tears. Touch him with your praise. Amen. Touch him by going to the word. Whenever you go to your Bible, you're saying, Jesus, I want you. I want to hear from you. And you touch him, and I guarantee you he will touch you back. Amen. And he will heal you. And then Jesus went and healed Jairus' daughter, the sick girl. And the dead girl. And every sick woman has a dead girl on the inside of her. Read Nobody's Business, my book, Nobody's Business. You'll get healed and delivered through that book, amen, because Clara was a sick woman, a dead little girl on the inside of her. And I thank God for Jesus, because he says, Talitha Kume, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up, get up. You don't have to go around being a sick woman with a dead little girl on the inside of you. God wants to bring that little girl back to life. Amen. And God is well able to do it. Amen. Amen. And praise God. So deal with your issues. Let that sick girl come back to that. Let that dead girl come back to life. Let God heal the sick woman and the woman with the bent over in the synagogue, in church but messed up, in church but yoked up. Amen. Let God deal with your crippledness. Amen. Let God make you whole again. Amen. I have a message that I preach for the women's conference this year. Woman, thou art loose. Now bust the move. If you want a copy of that DVD, email me at power in the word one, the number one, at yahoo.com. Power in the word one at yahoo.com, and I will send you a copy of Woman Thou Art Loose, Bust the Move. Amen. All I ask is that you receive it, and if the Lord leads you to send an offering after you've partaken of the word, to send an offering, amen, to bless this ministry, amen. Deal with your issues. Number three, take care of yourself. 3 John 2, beloved, I pray that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So physically, mentally, and spiritually, take care of yourself, amen. Your body is the temple of the Most High God. The Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you if you are a believer. So take care of yourself. Amen. Number four, go ahead and have some coffee. Amen. Put your list aside and have some coffee. Amen. Don't count the brother out just because he doesn't look like what you told God you wanted. Come on, somebody. Just because he might be a little older or a little younger. Amen. Go ahead and have that cup of coffee. Find out about the brother. Flirt a little. Amen. If you know he's single and you're single, I say go ahead and flirt a little. Amen. Giggle, laugh, smile. Amen. Flirt a little. Amen. Let him know that you might be interested, because he might be interested too. Amen. Hallelujah. Dress like a lady. Number five, dress like a lady. Listen, don't display all your precious jewels, everything that's precious, everything that's valuable. I know you're beautiful. God made us to be beautiful, amen. But you don't want some man slobbing all over you, drooling because he could see the brown or the ivory mounds of your breasts. Come on, men are visual. Men are visual. They are turned on by what they see. Amen. Men are turned on by what they see. So you don't want to be presenting yourself as being for sale. You don't want to be presenting yourself to say, okay, I see you in the chat room, Monica. God bless you. Amen. You don't want to be presenting yourself to say, I'm advertising that I'm interested in sex. What is your dress? What is your wardrobe saying about you? And this is a tough topic because nobody's talking about how women are dressing in the church. People say, well, this is 2010. And a lot of us don't want to drive people away from church. Listen, if you just got saved or if you're not saved, then go ahead and go to church with what you have. Amen. But if you're not saved and you're thinking about going to church, don't go to church with the clothes that you wear to the club. Put on something that covers your breasts. Put on something that's not so revealing when it's as far as being tight. Amen. I'm just trying to help you. The Bible tells the older women to teach the younger women everything pertaining to life and godliness. Amen. So I'm saying to you, if you really are thinking about getting married, if you want a good man who will respect you for what's in your heart and what's in your head instead of just looking at your body and saying, well, she's hot, so I want to be with her, then, you know, you'll listen to sound counsel. Amen. Listen, we can't hide the fact that we have breasts. Come on, somebody. And we can't hide the fact that God gave us curves. We are wonderfully and fearfully made, and that we know full well. Amen. God made woman, he outdid himself. He made men straight up and down, amen, with a few muscles, amen. But when he made women, he gave us curves. He gave us voluptuous curves, amen. He gave us beauty that would be so awesome to behold. God gave us his best. And look, you don't want to just be treating God's best like trash. Come on, somebody. I just want to exhort you to dress like a lady, amen. If you have a crack in the front or a crack in the back, then your clothes are not fitting you properly and it's not pleasing to God to be showing all of your cleavage and jeans that are hanging off of your behind so you see the crack in your behind. You know, I'm saying, let me just give you my testimony. I used to wear everything short and tight. I was a seductress. I knew the clothes to put on to get the attention of men, any man, a man inside the church, outside the church, in the club, in the bar, at work, amen. But a man came to me. One day I was working at Merrill Lynch, and I'm working at Merrill Lynch, and I wasn't saved. And I was a seductress. Like I said, I knew how to wear the clothes. So I'm working at Merrill Lynch, and one of my brokers had some clients from Nigeria, and one of the guys that was coming in from Nigeria, he liked me. So I found out that the guy was in town. So I went out on my lunch break. Let me tell you how I was thinking. I went out on my lunch break. I worked downtown Newark. So I went out on my lunch break and bought this outfit. I thought it looked very nice, and it did look very nice, but it was too revealing. It was a real short orange skirt. Now I'm working in corporate America. So this skirt was like mid-thigh. I mean, it was mid-thigh, and I'm tall, 5'10 and a half, so I'm tall. So I bought this short, tight orange skirt, and I bought this this blouse, a very nice blouse, but it had some buttons down the front. So it was revealing in the front, and the skirt was short and tight, and I had on my black pumps. Amen. You could not tell me that I wasn't looking good. I was looking good, but what was I looking good for? The broker, my friend, I haven't seen him in years, but this man is a womanizer. He's a known womanizer. He's had 25 women at a time. He was never his woman. She's number one. She's 10. She's number 10. Then you had number 25, who he would call when all else fails. But number 25 was the one that he called when he wanted real hot sex, because she was good in bed. Amen. So I'm telling you, don't let no man put you in a numbering system. Come on, somebody. And we think, well, you know, you're not the only one, but you think half a man or part of a man is better than no man at all. Well, the devil is a liar. Amen. You deserve to be the only one, and you have to know that you deserve to be the only one. But Ken had all these women. I didn't mean to say his name, but he had all these women, right? And he pulled me to the side. And he said to me, because I went back to lunch, I went out to lunch with a nice skirt, long skirt to my knees and a nice white blouse, and I came back looking like I was going to the club. And he came to me, and he pulled me into his office, and he said, "Rebecca, why do you dress like this?" He said, "Why are you dressed like this?" He said, "You're a beautiful woman." He said, "You don't have to dress like this." And let me tell you something. That was the second time he talked to me about the way I dressed. The first time I had on jeans and a silk blouse, a jean skirt, a blue jean skirt, and a silk blouse, and I was working as a cashier at Merrill Lynch before I became a associate, a registered client associate. The first time he said to me, he said, "You can't wear jeans to work in corporate America." He said, "If you want to go up the corporate ladder, don't wear jeans." And I was insulted because it was a long jean skirt. It was nice. And he was like, "It's still jeans." So he dealt with me about the jeans. And then he dealt with me about dressing like, you know, a floozy, a hoochie mama. He was like, "You're beautiful. You don't have to put everything on display." And that's what I'm saying to you today. And I changed my clothes before the guy got there, put back on what I had on. And I stood corrected because a man told me that I didn't have to dress like that, because he said when men look at, this man told me, I told you he's a womanizer. He said, you look like number 13 on my list. You know, when you look like that, men will put you in a certain category and you will be that number on his list. Amen. But we're number one. You're number one, and your goal should always be to be number one on your man's list. Amen. Not number two. Matter of fact, there can't be no number two if you're on the list. There can only be one, and that one has to be you. Amen. I just had to put it out there. Dress like a lady. You are a lady. And that was number five. And number six is act like a lady. You know, act like a lady. A lady does not go everywhere laying down with everybody, you know, just to get a thrill. You know, a lady does not sleep with men. who are not in a committed relationship with her. If you're not saved, your man that you're sleeping with should be in a committed relationship with you. Amen. If you're not saved, I said, if you're not saved and you're sleeping with somebody, you should be in a committed relationship with that person. But if you are saved, then you should not be sleeping with him. Now, I'm just going to say it like that. People hate this kind of teaching, but listen, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. Listen, not if I love you, I'll tell you the truth. But not only that, but I'm under obligation to tell you the truth. Look, your body is too precious. Again, I told you, God gave you that body. He gave you your intimate body parts to be used to please your husband and to bring pleasure when your husband and you, when the two of you come together as one. Ooh-wee, my God, when the two of you come together as one, my God, that thing should be explosive, amen, because if you're with the right one, if you're equally yoked, if you save yourself for your husband, and if you're not a virgin, that's okay, amen, because God, you could be a virgin from today forward, amen. I won't stay stuck on this sex piece, but I do have to talk about this sex piece. Because I was watching Steve Harvey on TV one day. He was on TBN. And he said he wrote this book. The name of his book is Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, and Get the Man. I think that's the name of his book. I haven't read it. But he talks about holding back on the sex for 90 days. Because he said, if you can hold back for 90 days, at least you get to know the person. And they said, well, Steve, what about women? What about people in church, women in church? And Steve said, women in church, people get mad at me when I tell women in church to wait 90 days. He said, because they say I should be telling them not to have sex at all. He said, but the truth of the matter is that women in church are having sex and they're not married. Now, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I know for me that was true. Amen. Until I really got a revelation that it was not pleasing to God. One day I was sitting in church next to my man, and we had both been intimate with each other. And the preacher said, where did you sleep last night? Whose bed did you get out of this morning? And that thing convicted me. And because of the conviction, I was able to change, amen, and that man was able to change, amen, and we're married today. Let me just give that testimony. I'm going to come up here perpetrating, amen. We're married today because we got the revelation that it was not pleasing to God for us to be sleeping together outside of marriage, amen, and we had to change. Either we had to stop sleeping with each other and break up, and we did. We said we're not going to sleep with each other anymore, but we didn't break up. We got married. So we had to stop sleeping with each other and break up, or stop sleeping with each other and get married, amen. So when you really know he's the one, and you might be sleeping with him today, amen, but you can stop sleeping with him today and go ahead and get married. Don't keep sleeping with him and say, one day we're going to get married, and 5 years later, come on, somebody, you are still sleeping together, amen. So I wanted to touch on those, act like a lady, amen. I'm going to go through 7, 8, 9, and 10, and then I'm going to take some calls, amen. I'm going to try to go through all of them, and then I'm going to take some calls. I see a hand raised on the switchboard already. I was just doing a review, and the Lord just put on my spirit to do a review. I want to welcome guest 961. I also want to welcome RB Management. You're the manager for Russell Blake. Well, praise the Lord and welcome Woman to Woman. Amen. And just welcome you to the chat room. Tell somebody that we're on the air. Tell somebody that Pastor Rebecca's on the air. and that I'm speaking to the hearts of women and men, amen, because I realize that men come to my show too, because a man, in order to know a woman, has to listen to a woman talk, amen. So I'm here, and the women are going to be calling in, and the men are going to be calling in later. But tell them to tune in. Go to Facebook and tell them to tune in to blogtalkradio.com/power and tell them to call in to listen and be on the air, 646-652-4832. I invite you to come to our church at New Creation Christian Ministries. We're the Kingdom Church. We're not about just having church. We're about being victorious in every area of our lives. 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Okay, so let's go into number 7. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to the man. Talk to your man. We have a brother, Richard, who has called in the last 2 weeks, and he may call in today. And one thing that he's been talking to us about is communication. Talk to your man. I have a 7. Talk to him about Jesus. Talk to him about God. And talk to him about other things as well. Communication, ladies, communication is key. You cannot be in a relationship, nor can you enter into a relationship without communicating to the person that you're in a relationship with or that you're interested in getting into a relationship with. Listen, make it a habit to talk to men. You know, one thing about Brother Richard has been saying that women sit back and wait for men to approach us. Well, women, I just want to say we might be wrong in that. I'm not saying approach the man and say, you know, hey, baby, I want to be your wife. No, I'm saying approach the man and start up a conversation. And that's what Richard has been saying. It's okay to strike up a conversation. Listen to me. Listen very closely to me. I want to make a confession. When I was single, I talked to men all the time. I want to talk to you. Let me just help you. I'm going to help you here. I'm going to help because there are too many women in the church sitting there. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on my husband. You know, one day the Lord's going to send me a husband. I've been praying for a husband. And then you're unapproachable. When a man comes to you, you know, he can't talk to you. You know, you give him attitude. You tell him, he asks you to go to coffee, and you tell him you got to pray on it. Come on, you know you're wrong for that. You know, we're going to, women, you will stay single if you don't allow yourself to be approached, if you're unapproachable. They used to tell my godmother, I'm not interested in you because you look like you're high maintenance. You know, she, you know, you give off, they told the man, told her, you give off a haughty air, you know, and we were not saved and we were in the bar. Come on, somebody. So men would not approach her, but they approached me because guess what? I was friendly, flirtatious, I was vivacious, you know. I laughed, you know. I laughed and talked to my friends, you know, that were around me, table with. I smiled at men, you know. I started conversations with guys. When guys came over to talk to me, I talked to them, you know. And I'm talking about the bar scene, you know. I'm talking about this is before I was saved. And even when I came into the church and God said, I met my husband in the bar. Come on, somebody. I think that in the church, we've lost the art of flirting. And some people might say blasphemy. I don't want to listen to this woman. You know, but I'm telling you the truth. Listen, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Amen. Let me tell you something. Eve talked to a snake. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, Eve talked to a snake. She had Adam. She talked to a snake. So you know Eve talked to Adam. Come on. What I'm saying to you, Ruth talked to Boaz. And Ruth went and laid down on the threshing floor, put her thing over Boaz, thing over her, over his feet, cover his feet, and said, will you marry me? You know, will you redeem me? Will you be my kinsman redeemer? A lot of people don't like to talk about this, but Ruth actually proposed to Boaz. But they were already, Boaz had already shown the interest. He had already been courting Ruth, amen. He had been courting her. And that's another thing we want to talk about, dating. That's what God showed me at the last broadcast. In the kingdom of God, back in the day, there was no dating. a man show interest in a woman, he went to her parents and said, I want to marry her. He gave them a dowry. He gave them a dowry for that woman, and he married her. Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, amen. He worked 7 years for Leah, amen. So we have to realize that this is a, you know, we got to put things in the proper perspective, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, RB Management. God bless you, Minister Blake, amen. We're looking forward to connecting. Connect with me. Send me an email so that we can get more information on connecting with each other. Amen. So what we want to do is show ourselves friendly. Amen. Communicate. Talk to the man. Amen. About his life. Number eight, be interested in him, his likes, his dislikes, his dreams, his goals, his aspirations. Talk to the man that you're interested in. Don't let it all be about you, amen. Talk to him, amen. Be interested in him. Instead of waiting for, if you're single and you don't have a man in your life and you see a man and he's your type, go ahead and be interested in him. It's not saying you're sweating him. You're not asking him to marry you. You're not coming off as desperate. You're just saying, I'm interested. Just that simple. I'm interested. Amen. Be interested in him. What does he like? What books does he like to read? What movies does he like? And you can talk about this in church. We have fellowship after service. You know, if there's a man in church, and, you know, sometimes the women would get together and talk to the women, and they all single, and the men would get together and talk to the men. I like to say, I tell people, if I was single, I'd probably be hanging out with the men. I mean, I wouldn't be sleeping with men anymore because I'm saved, but I would be hanging out talking to single men. I don't understand it. You know, there's a disconnect. You know, if you're single, go talk to some men who are single. Just talk to them. You might find out that you have something in common. You might find out that you like the same movies, that you like the same books. You might find out that you both are called to be in ministry. You know, talk to the man. Talk to the man. There's nothing wrong with talking to the man. Amen. So be interested in him. Number nine, don't sweat him. In other words, don't be desperate. Don't be desperate. Don't be drooling at the mouth. Don't be jealous because he's talking to other girls. Don't sweat him. If you're in relationship with him, give him some air. Give him room to breathe. Let him call you sometimes. Amen. Let him text you sometimes. Amen. A man loves to chase. Men love to chase. I'm going to tell you the secret. A man loves mystery. Is there any mystique about you? Amen. Not hard to get, but not telling him all your problems. Don't tell him every boss man that hurts you. He doesn't need to know about every man that hurts you. He doesn't need to know about your ex-boyfriend that dumped you. He doesn't need to know about all of that in the beginning of your relationship. Amen. But let him talk about himself. Amen. Don't sweat him. And respect him. Amen. If you're dating a man, listen, don't be Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde. Don't go off on the man. Don't give him drama. You know, don't give him fever. Amen. Every time you turn around and he has drama with you, he's not going to marry you because he realizes that you're going to make his life miserable. Can I just tell the truth up in here? Amen. So, don't sweat them. Don't be desperate. Amen. But number 10, by the same token, don't be too easy. You got to put this all together. I pray that you're taking notes. Don't be too easy. Don't be too anxious, you know, jumping up and down. And every time he walks in the room, you jump, you know. You cooking him food, bringing food to his house. Don't be cleaning his house. You know, he's not your husband. Don't be cooking for him every day, cleaning his house and washing his clothes. No, 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 no. Stop it. Just stop it. Amen. I'm talking about being in a relationship. You're not married yet. When you get married, you have plenty of time to cook. Now, you can't cook for him. You know, if you want to cook and bring him some chicken by the church, you know, I cook this lasagna. And he's, you know, and I thought about you, or you're in a relationship with him. And, you know, he likes lasagna. Show him what you can do. You know, cook him some lasagna, you know, but don't be cooking for him every day and every week and you going to his house cooking. I remember being in a relationship with a guy cooking for him and cleaning his house. And that man told me he wasn't going to commit. And he wasn't going to, you know, and if he was going to marry me, I wasn't going to be his only wife because he was from Africa and he was going to have more than one wife, you know. He told me he wasn't going to commit. Pastor Anthony, I cooked for him because I wanted to hook him. I'm going to tell you, I cooked for him. I didn't cook for him every day, but I did cook for him. I fried some chicken. I cooked him some oxtails. I cooked him some spaghetti. Those were the three. Valentine's Day, I cooked him some spaghetti. I cooked him some fried chicken when we first started dating. And I cooked him some oxtails. So I showed them that I could cook a quick meal. I could cook a spot some chicken. And I could cook him some soul food. Amen. But don't make it a habit, you know, that you end up cooking for that man and you guys are not married. I'm just going to say, don't go cleaning his house. Amen. I did not clean Pastor Anthony's house. Amen. As a matter of fact, if you want to stay out of his bed, you don't need to be in his house unsupervised because you're going to end up in bed. Let me just put it out there. Amen. 11, that's the next one. Say no if he tries to push up on you. Say no. Just say no. Men are not going to like this. Men are not going to like this, but I'm telling you to just say no to sex. Sex is addictive. It's like a drug, amen, especially if your emotions are tied in there. Endorphins are released. Adrenaline is released, amen. Soul ties are created. Spiritual exchange is created, amen. You can get hooked on sex just like you can get hooked on phonics, just like you can get hooked on drugs. I'm just keeping it real. I'm keeping it real. I'm not saying to use sex as a don't use sex as a bargaining tool. If you marry me, I'll give you sex. No, 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 no. Don't get, what I'm saying is you're saying to your husband or any man that you're dating, I'm not going to lay down with you and have sex with you because I'm a woman of God and I honor my body, I honor my Lord, and I'm saving myself for my husband. But my husband is the only person that I want to lay down with. That's what I'm saying to you. So you're not using sex as a bargaining tool. You're not saying, if you marry me, then you can have all the sex you want, because that's a lie. Because the truth of the matter is when we get married, the sex decreases because it does not become the most important thing for women, but it's very important for men. And I'll be talking about that in keeping your marriage hot, how to, you know, balance that thing out, because he'll want more and more sex and you'll want less. Amen, because you have the kids and you're cooking and you're working and you the bills and you got stuff on your mind, you know, and I'll be teaching men how my husband will come and join me in the end and we'll talk about how men can make love to the women in the kitchen, make love to her. You'll leave a note on the table for her and you can bless her that way that she'll be ready for you when you go to bed at night. But don't just jump in the bed, men, and say, okay, it's on, and you haven't paid any attention to her all day. But that's another segment. I'm going to take some calls. Say no if he tries to push up on you. Respect yourself. Your husband, let me just say this, is looking for the woman that will tell him no. He is really looking for the woman that will say no. You know, even if you know, and let me tell you something. Don't get yourself all hot and bothered and try to say no, amen. Which means don't get yourself in a we're tongue kissing. You know, we're hugging each other, we're feeling all over each other, and now you're all hot and bothered and you want to say no. You done got him hot and bothered. You hot and bothered and you want to say no. That's not going to work. You're going to end up giving in, or he's going to push past the no, because you know, come on, you know. Everything you've done up until that point has said yes. And no means no. No means no. But don't get yourself in a situation where you got to, you know, fight yourself out of something because he doesn't understand that no, because his body is saying yes. And you've turned him on, and now you want to back out. Amen. So just don't get yourself up in it. Don't be tongue kissing on them. You can't tongue kiss a man if you're not going to, you know, go all the way. I'm just going to say it. My girlfriend just got married. She did not kiss her husband, tongue kiss her, that man, until they said, kiss your bride. Okay? She did not have sex with him until they said, now you're married. And they went to the honeymoon suite. Amen. Back in the day, that's how they did it. That's how they got married. They had a party. They went to the honeymoon suite. They consummated the marriage. They were married. There was no tongue kissing and stuff going on. Come on. There was no groping and feeling. Listen, woman of God, your body is sensitive. A man cannot touch you in certain places without you not wanting to say yes. I'm just going to say it like that. So just make sure that you're keeping your distance. Amen. Keep your distance when it comes to being that close. Because if he tries to push up on you and you're that attracted to him, chances are you're going to say yes. And, you know, that's why Steve Harvey said 90 days. Because a lot of us are sleeping with men after a month, after a week, after 2 weeks, after a day. He's not going to marry you if you sleep with him after one day. You go to McDonald's and have something to eat. You sit in his car and talk. He talks you into going into his apartment. You're in his bed, and it's the first week that you've known him. He's not going to marry you because he sees you as being easy. He sees you as being loose, and he's not going to marry you. He says, yeah, I got it that easy. How many other men have gotten it that easy? I'm just being real. Amen. And finally, number 12, and I'm going to open up the phone lines. As the relationship progresses, let him know, again, communication, that you are a wife. You are a woman who is ordained to be married. My definition of wife, a woman who's ordained to be married, a woman who has a desire to be married, or a woman who is already married. Amen. So you are, let him know that you are a wife. And if you're a single woman and you're burning with desire, sexual desire, then you are a wife. Let me just put it like that. You're not just some woman who's hot in the pants. Amen. You are a wife. Amen. So let him know that you are a wife. Do not allow yourself to be strung along for years. If he still does not want to talk about marriage after 2 years, tell him that you must move on. Either he will let you go or make the commitment to keep you. Amen. I got through it. Amen. 12 ways to get the right one to say I do. Let him know that you're a wife. Listen, you don't have to play yourself cheap. Amen. God bless you, Deborah. Amen. You don't have to play yourself cheap. Amen. Let him know that you're a wife. When my husband and I were dating, he proposed after the first year because we sat in his car, and I let him know. Within the first 2 months, I let him know, I'm a wife. I'm looking to be married. I don't want another boyfriend. I've had enough boyfriends in my life. You know, I'm looking for a man to make a commitment. My God, you know how many boyfriends I've had? You know, and what I'm saying to you is you don't have to go down that road to have boyfriend after boyfriend after boyfriend. At one point, you need a man who's going to commit. You know, that's it, point blank, period. And if he's not willing to make a commitment after being in a relationship with you, especially after 2 years, 2 years to me, I think is too long. After a year, he should know if you're the one. Amen. He should know if you're the one, and you should know if he's the one. And about number 11, where I say no, if he tries to push up on you, he does not have to try it out. He does not have to try it out. You do not have to try it out to see if it's going to be good. Amen. That's a deception, because how many men are you going to sleep with before they find out which one is going to find out that you know, it's good, so now I can marry her. No. Wrong answer. Amen. Amen. So that's it. That's the teaching. 12 ways to get the right one to say I do. I pray that you were blessed by the teaching. I'm going to open up the phone lines in this last 36 minutes to talk to my listeners. Amen. You can begin to call in. The number to call in is 646-652-4832. I already have some people on the board that are waiting to speak. Call in and let me know what you are experiencing and what you think about this teaching. Amen. Or if I can answer any questions that you have, you know, let me answer your questions. Let me talk to you about what's going on and what you have to say about what God has said through me. Amen. I believe that I know that I'm ordained for this. Amen. That I'm anointed for this. So this is what I do. Amen. Every week on Woman to Woman, we'll be finding some way to enlighten your life, to bring you into that realm, amen, of victory in every single area of your life. Amen. So we're going to open up the phone lines. I invite you again to come to our church, New Creation Christian Ministries, the Kingdom Church, not just church, but an experience with God that will change your life. And this is real talk. Amen. 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Amen. Have a caller on the line. I want to put this caller on the line. Area code 862. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman. Okay, that caller is gone. Amen. That was Pastor Anthony. He's at work. Amen. I wanted to put him on. Maybe he'll call back. Amen. Area code 312, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
God bless you.
God bless you, Erica. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm just so blessed. Had an encounter, momentum encounter of shift at the church last night. I tell you, Erica, I'm even more on purpose than ever before. You know, you have those experiences where God just changes your life.
Yes.
And I had one of those experiences on last night. So I just thank God that he takes us from his glory to his glory.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. Amen. So I know you have something to say about the teaching on today.
Pastor Rebecca, all I got to say is I thank God for you. I know that you really have a relationship with him. And you be all in my business.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, these other five points that you just gave was just awesome. And even the way you started out the broadcast today and just spending time with God is very important when you're at a place where you feel like you're stuck and you really don't know what direction to go in. And sometimes we have to just sit and listen to what it is that God is trying to tell us and the things that he's trying to show us to give direction. And a lot of times we don't sit still long enough, you know, or get in God's presence long enough to hear what he's saying. And one of the things I try to practice is being in God's presence and listening to what it is that he wants me to know, you know, and the things that he
says.
And he pours out a lot from your mouth.
My God, thank you, Jesus.
And he used you in so many ways, and I know that it was meant for me to meet you. I know it was meant for me to meet you, and you constantly give confirmation every week that I listen to you of what I've went through during the week, what I've talked to God about during the week, what I've prayed for during the week, you know, and just sitting down, just basically airing out everything, because one of the things I try to do is practice talking to God, letting him know, you know, how I feel about things and getting things off my chest, so that I don't dwell on it for a long period of time and I can allow God to deal with that thing. And it's been awesome, the revelation that he's been giving me over the past couple of weeks. And he just did it again. And so you just gave me complete confirmation of everything that I've been talking to God about all week.
My God. Mm.
And it's wonderful.
Mm. Well, praise the Lord, because he wanted me to do these. I did these 12 points at the women's conference, and the Lord wanted me to share with my Blog Talk Radio listeners, because this stuff is powerful when you think about it. And now maybe I need to put it in a book, You know, because when you think about it, it's like information that's not being shared. And us older women, I'm 49. I almost forgot how old I was. But I'm 49 now. But us older women who have lived anything, we have to come back and teach you younger women, you being 27, what we've been through. And just be honest. You know, just be honest. Yeah, the truth of the matter is, yeah, sex feels good. Yeah. That's the truth of the matter.
Yes.
You know, and the truth of the matter is it's hard to abstain. And the truth of the matter is we need to be honest about that, not to say we shaking and shivering and speaking in tongues and rolling over on the floor and dancing and shouting. And that's going to stop us from having these emotions and stop us from having these feelings and these desires. Because we, most women desire to be in a relationship with a good man.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we equate sex with love. You know,
yeah.
That's why I'm open about people. A girl came to my church. I did this teaching in church. She said, "You went deep. I couldn't believe you were talking about sex in the house of God." And I said, "Well, people in the house of God are having sex, so we
yes.
need to talk about it. We need to be talking about it.
That's
not just it's a sin. You're going to burn in hell if you have sex." No, no, no. Let's just break it down.
Right. And that is so true. And it's something that, you know, that's a problem, and it's something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a lot of people who need someone to talk to about what they're going through. And a lot of people are dealing with a lot of things, and they don't have anyone to go through, you know, to
yeah.
go to be able to talk to them about what's going on with them. And the truth is, Pastor Rebecca, you just can't trust a lot of folks,
yeah.
you know, to be open with them and to talk to them. And I've had this problem quite a bit, you know, and you have people who sit with you and tell you, you know, they love you and things like that, and they got your back, and, you know, they're going to help you and do this and do that. And as soon as you tell them something, your business everywhere.
Yeah.
You know? And that's not how you do things, because you don't know how much you damage a person by trying to ruin, you know, ruin who they are. You know, you don't know the place where they are right now, you know, the cry for help and how they feel. You know, you don't know to what extreme it is. And so you can't go around just damaging people thinking it's okay, because the truth is you have to look at the same person who went and told something. They also have, you know, things that they're trying to deal with as well. And so how can you put my faults out there or put my business out there, and you have things that you've done too and dealing with the same? And so we should be helping each other. We should be praying for each other and not putting each other down and kicking each other down, because that's not pleasing to God at all.
Amen.
Not pleasing to
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Go ahead.
So God is just, you know, he's just confirming some things in your life, Erica, and you just keep pressing forward. You know, take these teachings, and I know you already do, and continue to apply them to your lives, you know, to your life. Are you in a relationship right now?
No.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
I was, and I broke it off. I know, you know, what I have to do now, and like I said, God has been helping me and taking me step by step on what to do. And even when we were, when you told me that the Lord told me to, you know, just be single right now, and I'm trying to take those necessary steps to do what it is that I need to do as far as taking this time to get to know him better and spend time in his presence and to listen to what the things he would have me to do. I don't care or desire to be in a relationship right now, because I know that there's some things that I need to deal with. I know I need God to help me in various areas that he's helping me in right now. And being in a relationship right now is not going to help me at all. And so I don't need right now anybody. I want to take this time to get personal, get closer, you know, to God and allow him to work out the things that he needs to work out, because what I want and what I desire in my life is to be married. And so I don't want to take the things that I've done in the past or the past relationships and things that I've been in, the emotional things that I've been through and just, you know, stuff in my life. I don't want to take that over into my new relationship. I have some soul ties and things that I need broken.
Yes.
Areas, you know, that I just need God to refresh me in. And so right now, no, I'm not looking for to date anybody. I just want to take this time and stay in prayer and stay in my word and just allow God to do what he needs to do with me.
Amen. Amen. And that's going to save a lot of trouble because I had to work mine out the first 7 years of my marriage. So I just thank God for wisdom where he allowed me to work that out. So, Erica, I thank you so much for calling and being with me again every week. I tell you, you're one of my most faithful listeners. And I just thank God for you being there, even as the listenership grows. Stay with me. We have a couple of hands raised, so we'll take a couple of calls, and I'll get back to you if I can later on in the program. Amen? God bless you. So proud of you. Amen. I'd love to stay with me. Erica 111, you have your hand raised. You're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
What's going on, Sister Rebecca? Are you speaking with me?
God bless you, my brother. Richard, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm quite well. Thank you. And same to you. I must say, I've been critiquing your show, and it's one of the better, if not the best, shows in terms of practical examples that I've heard yet. There's a lot of vibration of air on the radio, but not a lot of real instruction. Number one, I took a few notes, by the way. Number one, your story. I thought it was an excellent story, and I think you manifest a wonderful spirit of openness and intelligence because you listened to that guy. And we will tell you all the truth. I've done that myself. Additionally, okay, my training is in engineering, theology, law, and business. I have a pretty close affiliation with all of those fields. And therefore, I understand structure, I understand order, and I understand to a degree what's going on. For example, Jesus said to Nicodemus, a very learned man, by the way, can you still hear me?
Yes, yes.
Yes, he said, how can I explain spiritual things to you when you don't understand physical things? And it's very important to understand physical and practical things, which is what you were talking about. Now, very few people, Steve Harvey, all of those people who speak on relationships, and I'm going to just give you this by contrast, none of them will tell women who are men's bosses from 9 to 5 to just simply use a modicum of their ability and talk to men like you just did. None of them will do that. And one might just ask the question, why? Well, I know why. They're being politically correct, and many of them don't understand relationships anyway. And remember, a broken clock is right twice a day. Something will work for anybody, no matter what it is. But we're looking at, of course, getting the impact for the masses. So when Jesus told Nicodemus that, that was very important. So we do need a practical example, and I like what you said about the older women or more mature women are admonished in the Bible to teach the younger women because you've already been there. You've made the mistakes.
Yes.
So who better to reach back and talk to the younger women? So that's just wonderful. Also, a man wants a return on his efforts, on his investment. Now, I'm talking to you as a practical man now, not a man who's coming around BSing you. If a woman is reciprocating with a man, that will lessen his interest in having sex with her. In other words, he'll be willing to get to know her. If I had the opportunity to interact with Bill Gates, and quality relationships have a fundamental basis. I would take him to lunch because I would understand the importance of being in his presence. So a woman who has spent time talking to a man, and this is very, very important, communication, should take the man to lunch. There's nothing wrong with that, and everything is right with that, because it shows her ability and willingness to participate in a reciprocal relationship. Let me shift from taking care of my lawn. But at any rate, women need to show themselves more proactive, and I've spoken to you on that.
Yeah.
A man wants a return on his investment. So if a woman is reciprocating, if she's paying, then even if the man is a bad man, that he doesn't want that. That is only attractive to a good man where the woman is reciprocating. So that's very, very important. I want to use a quick example of Pretty Woman. If you notice Richard Gere on Pretty Woman when they had a fight, and then she said, "Give me my money." And he counted out her money and he, you know, put it on the desk.
Uh-huh.
And she walked out. And he liked her, but he looked in there, and guess what he looked for? If that money was there, if that money had not been on that desk, he would not have gone after her, and all that transpired subsequently would not have transpired because he would have considered her paid in full. The particular incident, I was watching it recently. It's kind of a classic. Obviously, I think it's a little bit of hyperbole, exaggeration for effect. But nevertheless, it shows you how important money was. So had
yes.
she picked up that money and walked out, she would have walked out of his life. Now, you mentioned chasing. Men don't like to waste their time chasing a woman. We like to talk to a woman. Now, I won't take up time, but I wanted you to show me a model of what it was like for a man to chase a woman. Because I've drawn up models of it, and it looks pretty silly, comparatively speaking, especially when we can talk to each other. I just use the word language each other.
Mm.
So at any rate, a woman that's of any quality can talk to a man. Because when you're chasing, you're avoiding being caught. It's a game. It's a silly game, and you know in a game there's losers and winners. So we don't want that in a relationship. So men and women need to start early on talking to each other. So I have a few more comments. Oh, one other one.
Uh-huh.
The University of Texas at Austin, that's a very, very quality university. I think it's about number two in terms of the way universities are categorized. It's a public university, not a private one. But
uh-huh.
at any rate, they did the largest study that's ever been done on human sexuality, and they determined that the first five reasons for having sex are exactly the same between a man and a woman. So men and women like sex equally, and women
yes.
have a greater capacity for sex than men. They can have serial orgasms, they have a clitoris, and its only purpose is for sexual pleasure. A man has no analogous body part. So, I mean, there are a lot of myths that we follow because oftentimes in the area of relationships, we're not really not a people of learning. We're just a people of patterning. And if we have been given a bad pattern, we just continue to repeat that. It's kind of like the bromide of insanity, doing the same thing and expecting a change.
Yes.
Wait,
yes.
I'll break off at that particular juncture. I have a few more notes. You can see I'm a student. I took notes.
Yes.
And
yes,
I will listen to you, but I've got to run out and catch my lawn person. But I'll listen to your comments, if any. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Richard, for calling in. I love your comments. I love the comment that you made about the study done at the University of Texas. That's why, yes. Yes, women enjoy sex as much as, if not more than, men. Men think about sex more. That's what I've heard different studies. But women, we love it too. That's why I tell women no sex. That's why earlier in the broadcast I said don't let him be touching and feeling on you and you touching and feeling on him, and both of you become hot and bothered because you will end up having sex. So, yes, that is a true fact that women in the right context enjoy sex. That's the problem. That is a part of the problem, that we do enjoy sex as much as men, and we do have a greater proclivity for pleasure than men do. Yes, absolutely, I agree with that. A model of a man chasing a woman, I don't particularly have a model. I have to admit that I've heard that from men, Richard, that men like to chase. Men like to chase, and that could be something that I carried over from the world, that I carried over, and I did not do much research. I don't have any models. I think I just really was just saying that men like to pursue a woman and not have the woman be desperately pursuing him. I think that a man is interested more so in a woman that has something to bring to the table, a woman who is self-assured, a woman who has her own interests in her own life, who is not looking to wrap her life around him and make him her life. That's basically what I was saying when I said men like a chase. He likes a woman who has her own and who is able to bring something to the table intellectually, spiritually, financially, and physically. So, yes, that is clarified. I hope that's clarification of that statement that I made about men liking to chase. And even for my listeners, I'm saying be your own woman, you know, have your own life, go on vacation, study to show yourself approved, develop yourself personally. Don't let that man have to be your whole life. You know, I talked about that in one of my points where when I talked about prospering and being in good health, even as your soul prospers. Be somebody before he meets you, and don't let him have to make you somebody. Amen. So that's basically what I was saying there. I have another caller. I just thank God for Richard and him calling in. Definitely appreciate his comments. Area code 754, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman to Woman.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. This is Pastor Stephen Amaker. And we, Brother Richard and myself, we met here on your broadcast. And since meeting, the Lord has blessed us to have a wonderful man-to-man relationship. And I'm not saying funny man to man. I'm just saying
amen.
To men that we can, we have, he's become one of my co-hosts on one of our broadcasts. But anyway, the young lady that was speaking, I just heard some of her comments when I was able to get on. And I was just thinking, I said, man, she's doing the right thing right now by emptying out and clearing herself of all excess baggage and all baggage or whatever before she pursues and gets herself together. The problem is the only place society teaches us to how to go about relationships is just, I need somebody. That's all they say. You know you need somebody and they need somebody. So, but as Christians, especially men and women of God, we are taught to prepare ourselves. You prepare yourself to be married so that you start building yourself and getting yourself, okay, I can't go certain places and stay all night because I got a wife at home. Or I got a husband. Or I can't, no girls, I can't go with you out to this place and, you know, and out to the mall and because I got a husband. And for the men, I can't sit and do all the things I used to do, hang out with the boys every night because I got a wife. And this is what society doesn't, especially the you know, the world, they don't tell you that. All you know is you need a man and you need a woman, and that carries over into the church. Brother Richard and I, we did a broadcast some time ago, and I said on that broadcast, to me, Now, to me, this is my perspective. The perfect first date is on the park bench with a bottle of water.
Wow.
That's the perfect first date. First date. Before you go spending $300, before I go spending $300 on taking you to Shea Stevens, a restaurant, the most expensive restaurant in your city, I might not even like you. You might not even like me. So here I am throwing away $300 on somebody that, and that's why you hear people dishing people in the restaurant. Excuse me, I'll be right back. I go to the bathroom. What happened to the young lady? Oh, she got a cab and she left 20 minutes ago.
Mm.
And here you sitting here with a $300 bill and she or he has walked out. So my theory is a bottle of water, a dollar, two bottles of water, $2, park bench, get to know, okay, all right, already I see we're not going in the same direction, so we don't need to pursue this. Now, as a man of God, let me say it this way. The Bible says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And I just did a wedding a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord brought that scripture to me. He said, I want you to start telling people what I mean is when you find that person that I have ordained for you to be with, your soulmate. You connected yourself as sex mates, not soulmates. Mm. Your connection came from the bed and not from God. And so now you done got infatuated with the sex, and 3 months later, oh, we getting married. Girl, here go my new boo. Oh, that's my new girl there. Yeah. We getting married. You are, yeah. We gotta get married. We want to do it right now. After you done fell in the bed and sinned all night, now you want to turn around and want God to bless it. And God says, "But I never intended for you two to be together, because that's not the person that I have ordained for your life." Now we've all made mistakes. We made mistakes in the past. We made mistakes, and as Richard was saying. We that have made mistakes, let's reach back and tell those that's coming behind us, look, don't make the same. No sex. Stay out of the bed. Stay out of the bed until you have fully know that you know this is who God has aligned you up with. And then you go and get married. And then, you open so many other doors by doing it backwards. Your soul is tied to this person, but God says, I didn't ordain that. And now you messed up. You messed up. You were somebody, and then how many people we know, all of us know, that have been married, and they just had married and got kids, and then when the kids get grown, they say, well, we just stayed together for you.
Yes.
We didn't love each other. We just stayed together for the sake of the children. Now they're 30 years old. Now we're getting divorced. And so all of these things really need to be. And finally, God bless you, Pastor Simmons. Thank you so much for this space. But again, I reiterate strongly, no sex. No sex. Like you say, like you and Brother Richard just said, yes, the study says women like sex just as much as men, and men, you know, well, like you said, men think about it more, but women like it just as much. But you just don't let that be the thing that got you together. Because that don't last a long time. Let me tell you, the thrill goes real quick. After a couple of months, you start looking for some new stuff, and because you got there's no foundation. That's not the foundation.
That's right.
And
right.
We have to do it the way God, and even so, like I said a couple of broadcasts ago, we said that dating is not in the Bible.
Right.
Courtship is in the Bible.
Right.
So God's way is do everything first and then the bed.
That's right. And they didn't take the women to dinner. You know, they did not, the men back in the day did not take the women to dinner. There was no going, no, there were no fancy restaurants.
You was coming to my house and meet my mother, my father, all my siblings. I was going to your house, meet your mother and your father, and either your big brother or your father was sitting on the couch in the middle of y'all and listen and critique your conversations. Or you go on out the room. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to sit right here. Whatever y'all going to talk about, you're going to talk about. You don't need to be talking about nothing that I can't be here listening to. So we live in a different...
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I believe that there is a, you said something, Pastor Amica, God bless you, thank you for calling in. But while you were talking, you said something that struck a nerve with me. You said when you did weddings, you said, yes, the Bible says he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And that's the thing. I think there's been a gross misinterpretation of that scripture. It just hit me.
Because
I just got the revelation on that.
Because it doesn't say he that findeth a woman.
Yeah, but what I'm saying...
What
I'm saying is we use that scripture in the church like women... Richard said this last week, too. We use that scripture, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. In my 4 minutes, I don't know if I need to add time or not. But we use that scripture like, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Like, the woman has to be sitting around on the pew on display somewhere and a man waiting for the man to come and find her. Like, she's lost or something. You know what I'm saying?
No.
But that's
not
the way, that's not what the scripture is saying.
Mm-mm. Like I said, he that findeth the person that God says, he that findeth not just a woman, but your wife, your soulmate, who I connected you to.
Yes.
Yes,
he was. Yes. Yes, that's it.
A favor from God because you waited on God. And God said, now I can bless this. Jesus said it this way. Watch this. You're going to make me turn a curve. You better add 5 more minutes. Jesus said this. He said, when you pray, if you pray according to the will of the Father, he hears you.
Yes.
So that means, first of all, you got to find out what is the will of the Father. What is the will, then you pray according to the will, and then God can hear. Because what God, watch this, God is like, he's like deaf in a sense of speaking, because God only understands what he says.
That's all he understands,
what he says. He don't understand all this other stuff. If it's not his word, he don't understand it. Watch that. The first side is the devil. Don't understand nothing but the word of God. That's all they understand. And when you find out what did God say about this, and then you pray according to what God says, then he releases into your life what he would have for you. My wife, I was praying. I said, Lord, I want a wife. I need a wife. And please. And I was down here, and for a brief month or two, I had to move back to New York because of some other stuff up there. And then something happened, and the Lord turned it around, and I moved back to Florida. No, I'm sorry. I moved back to Florida. But 5 years ahead of that, I walked in the church, and the first time I walked in that church, the Lord said, you see that lady standing back there? I said, yes, sir. He said, that's your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened? She divinely connected us together. Although for 5, 6 years, I never said anything to that lady. Never said anything to her about her becoming my wife. But when it was time, then the Lord said, okay, now it's time. Pursue. Now you chase after. Go after her. go and recover that which was yours. And I walked up to her, and I said, you know, we knew each other because we was in the same ministry, but I said, I would like to date you with the intentions of marriage.
My God.
Why are you dating the person? That's another thing. And that's bottle of water. What do you want? Why are you sitting on that park bench? What are you looking for? We got to find out whether or not we're both looking for the same thing. Nah, man, I ain't. What are you talking about, girl? I ain't trying to get married. I just need a booty call.
Yeah.
So why would you sit there and think, okay, this is going to be my bow ass? No, you ain't going to be your bow ass. You're going to be your bow ass.
Yo, I'm sorry. Yes.
Your Boass.
Oh, my.
That's your Boass.
My.
And now you got people just not bow. No, that ain't, they gossip, that ain't them. That ain't the ones.
My,
I didn't say that was.
My God. So you did give me another perspective. So he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So basically, the man has to, in order for him to be, to find, realize, okay, finding a wife means that he who realizes that this is the woman that God has ordained to be his wife. But that man who realizes that must first be looking for a wife. He, like you said, you were praying for a wife. So when
right.
you sit on that park bench, and that's another thing I talked about after a while, you know, let the man know that you are a wife, that you want to be married, that your intentions are to be married. But you just made me do an edit on that point. The edit
mm-hmm.
is when you first get ready to start dating that individual, establish that you both
yeah.
have the same intentions in mind, that you both are looking.
Go ahead.
Yes.
I said, why waste each other's time?
That's good. That's
good.
I
waste 3 months to find out that I ain't the one, you ain't the one. And you want something that I don't want, and I want something you don't want. Why waste? Right out of the gate, I'm looking for a husband. I'm looking for a wife. Are you wife material? Come on, now. Are you? No, I really don't. I'm just looking for a sugar daddy. Really, that's all I wanted. Are you, you know, a candidate for the... So, you know, and Brother Richard and I, we did a broadcast, too, about I thought you wanted me for me. In other words, I thought you was attracted to me as a person, not to what I got.
Yes. And I believe that's a big concern of men, for all the women who are listening. The brothers are really enlightening us on today. That Richard talked about a man wanting a return on his investment, you know, and also reciprocation is key and very important for men. I'm realizing that from talking to Brother Richard, talking to you, Pastor, that a man not only wants a woman that's just going to be on the receiving end of him going out buying flowers and taking her to dinner and, you know, buying expensive trinkets, like, you know, like he's buying her, but he wants to know that she has a mutual interest of which she's willing to also spend some money, you know.
Wait a minute. Can I have a piece of that before you go further?
Yes, please.
First of all, a real woman... A real, honest, godly woman wouldn't receive stuff like that. Because you know the more you receive, like Richard and you're saying, the more I receive from you, you're going to be looking to be reciprocated in some form or fashion.
Right.
Or late. Girl, I bought you diamonds. I bought you a tennis bracelet. I paid your car note. I did all this for you. Hey, all right, here I am, ready to receive my gift. And you were, I don't, hold up. Now you got rape. And
mm-hmm.
then some nuts will kill you behind that. What you say? I done paid and did all this for you, and now you talking about you ain't going to give me none. Miss, I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
A real woman would say, no, I can't receive that. Why? No, we're not there. This is not where, I don't want you to think anything else of me. A real man wouldn't receive all that kind of stuff from a woman. Oh, I just wanted you to have this. Hold up. Because like my wife always say, oh, when you start, a lot of stuff has strings attached to it. A lot of things have strings attached to it. You do me a favor, I do you a favor. You buy me something, you give me something. You take me here, I bring you there. Everything, a lot of, so you got the first, what string is attached? Oh, nothing. Ain't no string attached. Wait a couple of weeks. You remember when I paid that bill for you? Now I need you to pay a bill for me.
My God.
And watch this. It's going to be twice what I paid for you. You paid my $300 light bill, but see, I got a $650 car note that I need you to pay.
My goodness. And that's why, so, and Carla, I see your hand. I'm going to put you in the air. That's why I see why so many people get in relationships where they're being taken advantage of because they receive. So basically, no expensive gifts?
Really? Really? No. No. Why? I mean, but because, like I said, the first date, you should know where you're going. If you're the kind of woman or the kind of man that's looking for a sugar daddy, then if that's what you're looking for, then you take it all in as they can bring you. But if you're a godly man or a godly woman that's looking for a husband, we don't do that. We don't do that until after we have established it's going to be about you, it's going to be about me, the two of us. And then we're going to pursue and investigate and go into this slowly. Let me re-emphasize that word, slowly. Because I want to see everything about you. I want to see are you good around kids? How do you act out around people? How do you act out around your family? Because a lot of things, let me tell you like this. Okay, thank you, Holy Ghost. My first marriage, I wasn't paying it a whole lot of attention then, but after we got married, it really slapped me in the face. Because my ex-wife, I used to see her cuss her sisters and brothers and her mother out. All her family, she would cuss them out. She would cuss her mother out. She would cuss her sister. I'm like, whoa. So then guess what? After we got married, guess who she wanted to cuss out?
She was cussing you out.
Come on. And I'm like, wait a minute, sister, we can't deal with it. So I didn't, and I've seen it, but I didn't have enough sense. My father told me, he said, don't marry that woman. Don't marry her. She, but I go, Dad, I love her, and I want to be with her. He said, boy, I tell you what, don't marry that woman. Let me tell you, the only thing that came good out of that marriage was my son. That's
Amen.
The only thing I'll take away is my son. But other than that, nothing good came out of that. And because we watch this, okay, let me give you this word. Don't ignore the signs. Don't ignore the signs. Everybody listening, write that down. Do not ignore the signs. If it's a stop sign, stop.
Stop. Amen.
Don't roll three. Stop. If it's
Amen.
A caution sign, be cautious. Don't ignore the sign. He grabs you around the throat and push you against the wall. Hold up, brother. You ain't the kind of man I want.
That's right.
Because what's that? If you did that this time, next time you're going to back in your eye, going to bust your teeth out, and you're going to break your arm. And then the next time you're going to come home and go shoot you and kill you.
Yeah.
One more thing, sis, I'm going to tell you. I heard a horrific story just a few days ago on TV. A woman was married to a man in the ministry. She came to the pastor and told the pastor that her husband was very abusive against her. The pastor said, you're doing something wrong. Go ahead and be right towards that man. 2 weeks later, the man shot and killed that woman.
My God. And I pray that everybody's listening to that. You know, by no means should you tolerate being physically abused, if the man is hitting on you and punching on you and kicking you and shaking you and grabbing you, then you need to leave. And I say that, and I've come up under fire for saying that, you know, being a pastor, being a woman of God. You say, how do you tell people to leave? Well, because the next step is you might be dead. You're right. You're so right about that. Too many people are dying. And not only are they killing their wives now or their husbands, but they're killing their kids. You know,
it's
between life and death for you and your children. Amen. So, yes, and I do say I don't say divorce, but I say go to a safe place. And then you were talking, Pastor Amica, also about watching the signs. You know, take heed to the signs. You know, the Lord will give you signs. Don't ignore the signs. Well, he loves me, but he curses me out. No, he's abusive. He has issues. So you are just so right on target with that. I want to, my caller dropped off, area code 973 you were holding, that was going to put you on the air. You can call back in 646-652-4832. This is the last 20 minutes of the broadcast because I did this then because Pastor Amica, you were making such a good point. And sometimes I like to just keep going with the broadcast to make sure that we're getting everything because we won't be repeating this particular segment. But I want you to pass to Amica because Richard asked me about the chase. And he asked me to give him a model of or an example of the chase. And you also talked about the Lord told you to go ahead and chase your wife that you can't pursue. Can you break that down for us as to what the chase is? And is that biblical? Is that not biblical? Is that something we do even today? Is that something that you would advise men to do, to chase, to enter into the chase? What is that?
It really is to say the chase is to pursue, go after. You can approach her. And like I said, I walked up to my wife and I said, I would like to date you with the intentions of marriage. Honestly, she started laughing at me. She laughed at me because we've known each other for 6 years and I never said anything to her. But the Lord told me, but when you're ready, go for it. And when I made up in my mind, okay, I'm ready, he said, now, go for it. But, and so too, like we say, but so as a, especially on the man's side, as you pray, Lord, who is the woman? Who is the woman that you would have? And he said, okay, there she go right there. Okay, so don't just go over there and maul her. Just go jump on her and holler. You my wife. Who are you, sir? I don't know you. But suddenly, just go up and show some finesse. Show some class. Be watch this. I'm going to use a word we haven't heard in 20 years. Be a gentleman. Not a Mac Daddy. Be a gentleman. Not player from the Himalayas, but be a gentleman. Walk up, introduce yourself. I was watching, and I told my wife, I said, oh, man, that brother, although they're not saved, but we were watching the show Housewives of Atlanta, and this beautiful young lady, she went out, she divorced. And the young man, he was just so suave and cool, and he took her out to a restaurant. He had a car to come pick her up and bring her to the restaurant and meet him. He sat her down. He was a gentleman, intelligent. And then I told my wife, because after the second or third episode of them dating, or rather talking, and I said, I'm just so glad to see brothers like that. Because he didn't, all right, baby, I got you ready, went to a restaurant, bam, I'm ready to go home, get in the bed. He didn't do that. Sits on the hand and say, good night, I'll see you again, thank you, good night, bye. You know, and that's the kind of, because, let me go back for a second. I watched a lot of Nat Geo Wild, and they had a show called Big Cat Diary. and those were the show you the leopard, the lion, and the panther, or rather the cheetah. And when they're hungry, man, they would take out this spot. Their victim, they would take out. But watch this. Mm-hmm. After they got it and pursued it and ate it and enjoyed it, I never seen one of those lions sit down and say, oh, dear, you were such a good deer. I just loved you. He got up and walked away.
Wow.
And so that's what happened in the human world. Oh, you're so easy. You gave it up so fast. You gave it up. First date, second date, and he goes, why you ain't call me? Because I don't want you to have no wife.
Yeah.
You're not my wife material. You went to bed with me on the first date. What kind of, what do you think I want you for a wife? No, I'm not looking for that. The second date, she was in my house, laying across my bed. I came home one day, and my son had invited a young lady, and she's sitting on his bed. I said, get out of this room. Get out of here. Get up out of my room. Miss, you got to get out of here. No, you don't. And I didn't see him but twice. No, you don't come over here two times and jump into his bed. He wasn't even in the bed. She laying up in his bed. No, miss, you got to go. Get up. Because what? What'd that say?
Yeah.
What'd that say? What'd that say about you as a woman, me as a man?
Well, it says I'm ready. You know, I'm on the bed.
I'm ready for sex.
Yeah.
Ready for sex. But not for a relation, not for marriage.
Well, not for a woman. Well, she is. She might. A woman is looking at things differently. And, you know, we do what we learn. And a lot of that is learned behavior. That's why I'm here on Woman to Woman, because we have to teach and we have to communicate in order to teach that that is not going to get you married. A lot of us equate sex with love, and we think if we can hook him that way, then he'll want to keep us, and we'll one day be in at least in a committed relationship for years, but and maybe marriage. But that's not the answer. That is not the way to do it. I need to hear from Pastor Amica. I need to hear from Erica. Just stay with me. I just want to put her back on the air, see what she thinks. Erica, God bless you. You heard from two men. You've been listening for a while. Any comments or questions? Or Erica? She might have
put
us on. Yes, I know you have. You put us on mute. You've been listening to these two gentlemen, Richard and Pastor Amica, you know, man of God. He's been speaking wisdom, lots of wisdom coming from him. What are you have any comments during this last 13 minutes of the broadcast?
No, I'm just taking in everything.
Amen.
I think wonderful comments made, even with what he was talking about as far as dating and the first date and things like that. I think that's an excellent idea, because when you date, you do right away. When you go on that first date, you know right away whether you are interested in that person or not. You know if you want to pursue it or if you don't. And you don't have to take a week or 2 weeks or 3 months or a year or whatever to find out if you want to be with this person. You automatically know right away, okay, he's not for me or she's not for me, or whatever. But I think there were some excellent comments made. I've been taking notes, you know, things that I can apply to my life every day. I thank God for the broadcast because it is helping me to grow so much and preparing me at a young age to be the wife that God has called me to be and to be the woman that God has called me to be and to learn how to respect who I am as a woman. And value myself, because at one point I didn't. And so it was a lot of things that I wasn't taught you know, how to be a lady and things like that. But it was a lot of things that I was taught from the streets and seeing other women and watching how other people did things and having people to introduce you to their influences.
Yes.
Things like that. So now God is changing all of that. And he's taking me from where I came from and teaching me a new way of doing things, being around real women, you know, being around women of God and showing me how valuable I am.
Yes.
And not just be giving myself away to anybody, because I don't, you know, these men, these, you know, guys that I've been with does not deserve me. You know, they don't deserve me giving myself away to them. And it's excellent. And like I said, thanks again. Thanks for Pastor Emiko. I thank you for the advice and the information and things that you've given out as far as a man point of view.
Sis, may I say a word to you? May I say a word to you? The Holy Ghost is really bubbling up over here. The Lord says he's taking you a different way. Because this is going to be your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships. And that's why he's taking you like the long way around and the slow way. Because he's going to send your man of God. He's going to send it. But there's some more fine tuning that, like you say, must be done and he must do. But this is going to be your area of ministry. It's going to be because people are going to look at you and say, now, how did you get a good thing? That's what they're going to wonder. How did you get a good thing? Because watch this. It is the will of God that we all live happily ever after. We find our husband, we find our wife, and they live happily ever after. Happily married. Not blatantly married. Lord, you standing up and praying, Lord, I done made a big, another big mistake. But God says he's going to use you to minister, especially to women. You're going to minister to women in the area of relationship. And just like you said, not to give yourself away. You're a queen. You're a queen. And queens do not, everybody don't know the queen. Every time I don't know the queen. You want a king, and you don't have to worry about who he been with and how many kids he got, and does he have AIDS or he got some other disease or whatever, because he is the man that has been, God is preparing, like he's preparing you. God says, I'm preparing him for
God.
And you for him, because he's going to use the two of you. In the name of Jesus, I command, I speak it as the Lord speaking to me. I say what the God said. He's going to use you to minister godly relationships, godly marriage to other young people.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I praise the Lord for that word. And Erica, I know you received it. I just see one more hand up here, 8 minutes. Powerful. I believe we still have Brother Richard with us. I don't know if he's raising his hand or not. I just think I see him raising his hand. Brother Richard, is that
Yeah, sister, I was getting a little bit frustrated because I said, if you don't mind just leaving my mic open and I'll mute, because I hung up and I called back and I really didn't know the process. I was about to send you an email to say, well, how does one, you know, make another comment? I have a comment regarding the finding. And find is an end product. A lot of women have hijacked, and some men have hijacked this process of a man finding. And so it's like everybody's got to get a piece of him while he's finding his wife. Now, I like what Brother Amaker said, is that he already knew this woman, by the way, but he approached her in a different way. And he says, I want to, and correct me, you know, on the exact wording, I want to date you with the purpose of marrying you. And that's fine. But we need to put more emphasis on language. See, we're not telling women to use language. We're asking them to use unrepeatables and unknowables, the way they're behaving. And the same thing is true with the men. We we've got to talk about things that are meaningful for a relationship, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is the essence. And remember, the church may be haughty and supercilious and ego-driven, but it's broken. We have more people talking about relationships than ever before, but yet relationships are worse and worse and worse. The divorce rate keeps climbing. Now, I like to try new models. And God says, test or taste and see that I am good.
Yes.
Test everything and approve everything. Hold fast to that which is good. If we look at Rebecca, yes. Rebecca was the wife of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Rebecca gave. Remember when Eliezer, the faithful servant of Abraham, mm-hmm. went to find a wife for Isaac? Rebecca stood out because she gave. They say she watered, they estimate about 30 camels, and each one of those drank about 10 gallons of water. So we can see that she gave first to show herself worthy. Today, we don't do that. Women with all their equal rights, and we can't avoid the rights that the law has given women. We're fools if we do that.
Right.
A woman is my boss, and I work with women finely. There's no problem. But I do think there are some social problems, whereas we don't prepare women for the workplace, and hence a lot of them are a little bit too hypersensitive. Nevertheless, women have equal rights, so they have to exercise those rights under the rubric of equal responsibility. Nobody in the church would tell a woman she shouldn't be this, that, or the other in terms of a profession. Now, if you go back 50 years ago, they would. So the
right.
church is speaking out of both sides of its mouth, in essence. It's hypocritical. And so what we need to do is to get one standard. Stop being double-minded. We need
yes.
to say to women, talk to men. Talk to men. Communicate with them. Have a language. We're not doing that, and the whole process is screwed up. So just a review. And I like what you said, Sister Rebecca, by the way, is that Ruth proposed to Boaz.
Yes, she did.
We've got to get these women out of their trick bag and understand that a man doesn't owe you anything. You're not the one that's found. You're along the way. You're not the destination. You are just a point along the way. That's just like saying, well, every car lot that a man visits, he should pay a fee, even though that's not the car he wants. So we need to, and this coincides with what Brother Amaker was saying, is that women should not be expecting, nor should they receive these favors from men, because men are not giving you that stuff just out of the goodness of their heart. They're giving you that for a purpose, and a man who isn't is lying, or he's a fool. And he'll be broke pretty soon, because if he's giving every woman all of his stuff, especially a black man, we don't have a lot of stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, I think we need to bring a little bit of sense into this, and this is one of my ways of giving back, and I speak on this subject all the time, but I speak in a very mechanistic way. And remember, God created everything, so the principles that God has laid forth, they have spiritual value. And that's the reason I quoted Nicodemus earlier. Since we don't understand physical things, which God created, we can't understand the higher spiritual things. And the basic thing of spirituality is truth. Learning, discerning, gathering and then disseminating what's true. And a woman has to be participatory. She has to be fair in the dating process. Otherwise, she pisses men off, and a lot of otherwise good men are really angry at women. And if you don't believe me, look at that YouTube animation, Black Marriage Negotiations, I really encourage all of you to look at that. Have you heard of it? Black Marriage Negotiations. Have
no,
you seen
I'm
the black woman
down.
In the boardroom and the black man in the boardroom, and they are negotiating marriage?
No, I haven't. I will take a look at that.
Okay, it's on YouTube, and it's called the Black Marriage Negotiations. And we should talk about those things because people in the church come out of the world. If the church people are ignorant of the way things go on in the world and what the world needs to be corrected and become more godly, then the church is not doing its job, or
church
the church leaders,
right.
I should say.
Right. If we... Because we are still in the world. We're not of the world. Jesus prayed, he said, don't take them out of the world, but shield them while they're in the world. And that's
correct.
The thing is that we isolate, church people have a tendency to isolate themselves within the church. And
the truth is our protection, excuse me. That's
yes.
our real protection,
yes.
is there's power in the truth.
Yes. And we have to remain, because we have to be effective. See, the ministry is not the ministry that God has given us when Jesus gave us the ministry, the ascension gifts. It was not just for those gifts to be used within the church. And I think that's a huge misconception that we have, that everything that God gave us to be used is to be used in the church. No, we are to use these gifts in our workplaces. We are to be effective in our workplaces, in our homes, and with our families, with our friends, to let our light shine so that people could see our good works and glorify God. And I think we have a tendency to lose that when we leave the church doors. When we leave the church, we come out of the church after shouting, after screaming, after praying, after running, after falling out, speaking in tongues. And we come out into the world, and we cannot communicate with those in the world. And therefore, we are ineffective. Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus was able to communicate and talk to people as he went along his journey. So we really need to be disciples of Christ for real. I agree with you, Richard. To be true disciples means... Yes, go ahead, Pastor.
We are the people of God. We cannot take the world's way of courtship.
Yes, right. We have to take what we have in the church. What the Bible gives us is valuable, because that's the truth. You shall know the truth. The truth shall
be
found in the
way of
life.
We may not take the world's way of courtship. Now, remember, some things in the world are good. Remember, the world is not totally reprobate. The world sets up most of the standards for for working. But I understand what you're saying. But the other part is that the church doesn't have a workable solution for relationships either. See,
well,
we need to be honest about
that. Let me just say this. The church may not, but the Bible does. You know, God does. God has a workable solution for marriage, but the church.
You don't want to use that.
Right. Exactly.
Well,
let's
ferret that out. That's a wonderful thing you just said. Now, I think using truth and honesty and fairness with respect to dating is the biblical way. But I covet, I have a great desire to, and I know the Bible does have the answer. I know that. Okay, let's exegete it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I agree, Richard. I tell you, you are go ahead, Pat.
Nobody wants to be a 40-year-old virgin.
Oh my.
Yeah, go ahead with your point too, sister. You were about to make a point.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, I love talking to you because you pull out some very crucial points, you know, that we really in the church, you know, need to be paying attention to. Marriages are failing in the church. Pastor Amica said it. We think about the fact that nobody does want to be a 40 or 45-year-old virgin. But do we even have to? You know, why are men not? You know, see, you look at you. We could go on for hours with this.
I mean, ask
because,
that question.
You know,
you committed episodic pieces. You interrupted yourself. Why are men what?
why are men not coming to church? You know,
oh, I'll tell you that.
We have so many single women in the church. Why
I'll answer.
Go ahead.
I'll answer why men aren't coming to church. Because there's no power. Men don't want to operate in a system that is skewed toward women. We don't enjoy that. If we're apex alpha males, we don't enjoy a system that's effeminate. Now, we enjoy a system that's fair, but not one that's effeminate. And remember, most of the churches are occupied by women. Women are paying the tithes, which I call an extraction. And, of course, the pastors, they aren't correcting the women because they don't want to tick the women off because the women are their meal tickets. So there are a lot of issues in the church. You look at Eddie Long. Eddie Long was way, and the word I use, and again, I come from an engineering background, is proportionality. Eddie Long was making over $3 million a year. I was talking to my mother. I said, what do you think about a guy driving a $350,000 car? What do you think about that? And she says, oh, baby, that's not good. Of course that's
well,
not
Richard,
good.
Wait a minute, Richard. You live in L.A. You live in L.A., and there's all kind of men driving $350,000 to $500,000, $1.5 million cars in all over L.A., all over here in South Florida, all over in New York. So, I mean,
that's out of proportion. I don't agree with that. I'm just simply citing it. I don't agree. All I'm saying is that one of the reasons the pastor, I mean, you know, the pastor asked, or the sister asked, why don't men attend church? And I'm telling her why.
I understand that. Yeah,
because there's so much
that.
Confusion, and we see that, and we vote with our feet.
Let's see, you're seeing it from the outside in, though, and not from the inside. If you're not,
well, we
going,
come in
then,
too, and we don't like what we see, so we leave. Now, we'll go to Bible study. It doesn't mean we're not spiritual, but we already critique the preacher, and we see that most preachers are pimps. The women are fawning and foaming over the preacher, and we don't like that. We don't go for that. So we just separate ourselves from it. And a lot of times the woman will give more attention to the pastor than she will her man. I've talked with – actually, I have a pastor's license too, by the way. And I taught in the church at one time. I still love the church, and I love the people, and I love God's word, but a lot of times the structure in the church, it's offensive to men. It's odorous. And so that's the reason a lot of men don't go.
And since what Richard is saying, so sadly, he is not just the only one. That is true. That those opinions and those comments you just made is widespread, and it's a lot because I talk to a lot of men, and when they find out, oh, I'm a pastor, see, and you got flocks, and you got women coming to you, and you know, there are some good, yes, there's a lot of bad, and there are, you know, but the good, the bad outweighs the good. And the bad always, you know, come out ahead of the good. The guy says the good guy do everything right. You're not even notice or recognize at all. But the ones, the bad fruit, the bad apples, they always get all the recognition. And
you have gender feminists in the church, which I believe is satanic. It's not just about equal rights for women, because I agree with that. But and so this is a very, very good subject. And I think it would be good to hear men say why a lot of them have abandoned the church. Because we see a lot of these women who are totally floozies, let's just be real here, who are dressing as if they're, you know, harlots. And you mentioned this earlier, sister, how, you know, women dress in the church. And the thing of it is, we see that on the outside. We don't want to go into the church and see women dressing like sluts and whores. We see enough of that on the outside.
Well, I certainly thank you for your honesty. It's, you know, we cannot, the Bible says that we perish for lack of knowledge. You know, so we really need to be informed, and that's why I'm here every Saturday faithfully. I believe the Lord has called me to just begin to open up the, you know, the lines of conversation and to teach women about things that are not what God would have for them. So we can,
well, you're certainly opening up a can of worms now.
Yeah, and I have to, and I have to, I'm going to have to, I see that, and I'm going to have to continue this. We'll continue this at another time. Why don't men? I'm actually going to invite the men. In November, I'm actually going to have men come all month to talk to myself and my listeners, the female listeners, to just help us to see things from a men's from a man's perspective. So I will be, Richard, I will be reaching out to you, I think I told you, for one of the weeks, just to come and just be my highlighted guest, Pastor Amica, to come and be one of my guests to speak to the women. I have 4 weeks, so I invite two other men to come on and maybe even have a forum where men can begin to speak to women from the heart of a man, to begin to speak to women and let us know some of the things that we are doing wrong in the eyes of men. You know, some of the things that you see in us that turn you off, and, you know, some of the things that you even see wrong with the church, because we do, men, God ordained man as the head, you know, and a lot of women don't like to hear that, but that's the truth of the matter. My husband is the head of our household. And yes, I do work by his side because we are one, so I can call myself pastor. I pastor with him. There are no women drooling over my husband. We have a Pastor Amica, you've been to our church. We do have mostly women, but there's a high degree of respect that they have for myself and my husband because we work as a team. So it's just a beautiful thing, what I'm hearing, being exposed. The devil has to be exposed. Satan has to be exposed. So we're going to continue this. I have guests here from London, and I extended myself beyond what I intended. But I could not cut this off today because I know that even those who are listening to the archives are being blessed by what God is saying. God is speaking. He is speaking. So
He certainly is. And, sister, you have my email. I will definitely lend whatever abilities I have to your fine panel. And Brother Amicus, I will give you a call. I was thinking about you, and I went on your website to see if you had done any shows lately, but I will give you a jingle.
I've been so busy, but we'll talk. I love you. I've been so busy.
Same here.
I was just telling you, and Pastor had texted me that you're going, and I, on my way in, I said, well, let me put it on. And then when I heard her call your name, I said, oh, my God, I got to say something. And thank God.
Praise
God. All
right.
I love you guys.
Hallelujah.
I love you guys. Be blessed.
I love you guys. I'm glad we made this connection. Erica, you're still here.
Yes.
I'm glad you're here. I love you, my sister. And I pray that you were blessed today.
Yes, I will. Thank you, too, Pastor Rebecca. And I love you as well. God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. So God bless you all. And next month, starting next week, is Men's Month right here on Woman to Woman. So all of our listeners, tune in. Tell somebody that the men will be speaking out on this upcoming month. I pray my husband will even come and share. Amen. On Woman to Woman every Saturday at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on blogtalkradio.com/power, or you can call in to listen at 646-652-4832. I'll see you next week. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.
You're listening to The Sound.
I just want to tell the truth. I just want to tell the truth. I just want to tell the truth.